you start getting those kind of questions, and then you start to realize, now you want to come on. And when they start coming on, don't remind them of all the 20 times they said no. Just receive them for saying yes and work with them. But that's how I did it, because there are people in my family who were like, oh Lord, here we go. Or, you know, there are people in that don't work. And especially those would call this, well, that's New Age religion. That's not Christianity. That God ain't about that. All that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So then I had to point to scripture and say, well, no, it's in the Bible. It's right there. Here's the verse. Here's the scripture. Here's the chapter. Here's the verse. Okay. And then I let it go with that. So this is some ways you can start to, when you start to kind of change your mindset, you don't have to rush everybody else into it either. Just let the results speak for themselves and they'll come along eventually, or you'll drift apart.
Mic check, mic check. You are now listening to the number one podcast that brings you motivation, education, and inspiration from faith-based entrepreneurs who walk by faith and trust God with their success story. They are disruptors within the business world, extraordinary college students with a dream, entrepreneurs creating solutions to problems they see on earth, and artists that are changing the game. As the pretty plug, I want to show you that your business model can be centered around faith, and I intend to plug you in to the stories of these inspirational beings doing just that. These episodes are proudly produced by Faith Tech Grow LLC, a production team where we amplify your mission and purpose to another level. Let's tune in to this week's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode on the Walk By Faith Show. You guys, I am your friendly friend, none other than Jazz the Pretty Plug, where I inform, motivate, and educate you to be all that you were called to be. I don't care if it's the morning time when you're hearing this message. I don't care if it's the evening time when you're hearing this message. I don't care if it's the nighttime when you're hearing this message. I want you to know that when you're hearing this, know that you're loved. Know that you're prayed for. Know that we've prayed before we even have hit the mic and hit the scene. And that our goal for you is for you to have information so that you can do what you need to. And I never do this by myself. Y'all, if I did this by myself, this show would be just boring. Because, I mean, I'm great, but, like, I'm not the greatest. So I bring people that are awesome, that are motivated for the kingdom, and that want to empower you to be all that you were called to be. Today's show is nothing different. I have a pastor, an author. He is a successologist. And so many other things that we're going to get into today. I just want to introduce none other than Mr. Charles Johnson. Charles, how are you doing today?
I'm doing phenomenally well. I hope you are.
I am doing great. I can't complain. Good. I woke up with a newfound sense of gratitude. Changing my trajectory and my mindset, you know, and my belief system. Because I'm like, it don't matter what Corona doing. It don't matter. I'm about to have a good day regardless.
Right. Not what about be you? I choose not to participate in all the fear. I know what's going on. I get it. I got it. I just choose not to participate in the fear.
Exactly.
Point blank period. Point blank period. So I'm doing good. I was washing my hands before this anyway.
Okay. And, you know, I feel like you being honest, like, how many times we really wash our hands, like, just when we go to the bathroom or after we cook? Like, that's the truth. You know, this definitely rose the hygiene level for Americans and for people all over.
Right. That's not a bad thing.
It ain't. It's not a bad thing. And we have a newfound, or I have a newfound respect for Germex and for, you know, the different alcohol products for our hands. Yeah. I personally have a new respect.
Yeah.
But, Charles, I want you to tell us who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, let me say thank you to you for this awesome opportunity. I'm really, really honored that you would ask me to be a part of whatever it is you're doing. But I am a pastor. My wife and I have been pastoring a church for the last 16, going into 17 years here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I am what you call a successologist. Now, when I say that, people's eyes get big, like I've never heard of that term before. Well, what I do, I help faith-based individuals, entrepreneurs, authors, other pastors, get rid of fear that might be in their life. I help them really get into what they've been called to do. More specifically, mindset. Because I don't care, the business that you do really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. You know, there are a lot of ways to make money, but it's all about mindset. And in particularly in the house of God, you would think our mindset would be pretty good, but actually it's not. So I help particularly faith-based individuals get in the right mindset, get rid of fear, get rid of self-limiting beliefs so that they can achieve the things that they really want to achieve, especially those things they say God put in their heart.
And you know something that's crazy, because like it's you would think the people in the church, like, we got the most faith and we got the most belief, but oftentimes we be the ones that most lack. And right. What have you discovered in that? Like, why do we lack belief in ourselves and we be at church every Sunday?
Every Sunday. I think it's how we have been trained, how we have been, another word for it is programmed. And I can only really speak from my own personal experience. I'm what you would call a church boy. Like, some people know the street, I know the church. So I was raised up in it. And when I go back and I start looking at how I got to believing the way I was believing at the time, was what I saw, what I heard, and some significant emotional events that happened to me. Nobody in the church was talking about you're supposed to be prosperous. It's a birthright. Nobody was teaching us about how to get rid of programs and how you think and how you see the world, how you see people, how you see yourself. Nobody was talking about that stuff. All we did was talk about, you know, not going to hell. You didn't want to go to hell. And how to, you know, keep your hormones from jumping like a disco. Those were the things we talked about. Nobody said anything else about money. Nobody said anything else about how to be successful. So a lot of it we've brought to this modern day, and we're just perpetuating it to our children. One of the things I preach on all the time is that you are not a human. You are not a human having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. Stop being human. Stop getting caught up in all the stuff that the world is afraid of and all the stuff the world is saying is going wrong. That don't apply to you. You ain't got to participate. But if nobody teaches you how to think that way, anything, even what I'm saying right now sounds like Chinese or Japanese or, you know, Pig Latin. But what are you talking about? No, you don't. You don't, but it comes from our programming and our training. And even the folk that told us, they weren't doing it on purpose. They were just trying to keep us away from danger and giving us what they knew.
I agree. You know, do you feel that there can be a reprogramming for the body of Christ when it comes to, I guess, progressive thoughts about money, about the way we interact with each other, about technology? You know, can there be a progressive thought that happens for us?
Absolutely. And I appreciate the word that you use, a reprogramming. If you go back to Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, what we see is how God is created. And to give us a little bit of a biblical background, Genesis was written by Moses. So then, Moses was not there in the beginning. So the words that we are reading now, God did not have to use when he started creating. So what did he do? How did he create? He created out of his thought. We do the same thing. Everything that is around us, the Bible says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, the Hebrew word, their heart, means mind. As he thinketh in his mind, so is he, or so he becomes. So our first God-like faculty is thought. So the things that we think over and over and over again, its job is to be manifest. So if we don't change how we think, we'll continue to get the same results. So we have to pay attention to how we think. Why do you think that about money? Why do you think that about technology? Why do you think that this is how a relationship is supposed to go? Where did you get that thinking from. Even Les Brown says that most people don't, they go through life unconsciously conscious, not even thinking about what they're thinking. And then the reaction I'll get from my clients is, well, I'm supposed to pay attention to every one of my thoughts. Yeah, pretty much. Until it becomes a habit for you, till you start to recognize that thought. Because if you don't recognize it, another one will come in. And Jasmine, you may have realized this as well. If you have one negative thought, if you don't stop it, another one will show up, and another one will show up, and another one will show up. And then 2 minutes, you say, my whole life is destroyed. Oh, I can't tell. Oh, God, I don't know. But it started 2 minutes ago with one thought. So what we got to do with the body of Christ is we got to pay attention to what we are thinking. Because, again, it's a creative faculty that God has put in us, that whatever we think, we're going to speak. Whatever we speak, we're going to act. And all of our actions are going to give us the results that we do and sometimes don't want.
Man, that is so good. I believe you. I agree. I feel like that comes for people that are overly driven or super high achievers. One thought, it could take you out. And you think, man, I did master my mindset. I did master negative thinking. But something, I think the devil, he does the same thing many ways and just in different ways. So it attacks you the same, which is getting you to stop. So have you ever had any experiences where you had to get yourself out of that hump, had to get yourself out of those negative thinking thoughts? Talk to us about
that. When I first started realizing the power that God has given us as far as our thoughts are concerned, I was going through some things financially while pastoring. So this is not outside of being a pastor, okay? No, while pastoring, going through some things financially. And because of it, I needed to make some arrangements on some bills and stuff. And this lady on the end of the phone did not give me the extension. I lost it. I lost it. Okay. So I jump in the car and I'm riding around town. And y'all forgive me for my transparency, but me and God were having at it. I was arguing, fussing, hollering, screaming. And I know for y'all that's watching on this podcast, you and God don't get into it. You know, you and God, y'all just friends all the time. But this particular time for me, I was like, okay, what are we doing, God? Don't you see what I'm doing? I'm a husband of one wife. I'm pastoring this church. You command me, you ask me to pastor. I'm doing all the stuff, and this is not working out for me. What is the deal? Jasmine, for 2 weeks, two, three, almost 4 weeks, me and God, well, at least I say me and God, I was fussing at God. He was saying absolutely nothing. Then one day he says to me, I gave you the scripture a moment ago, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, for all y'all spiritual folk out there, you would have been like, oh, I got my word. No, it didn't do anything for me because I didn't understand. I was like, no, you got to speak in English. I understand what the scripture says. You got to speak to me in English. So I kept hearing the scripture over and over again until I realized and I heard him say, it's not my fault where you are. You created it. And I'm like, are you serious? I created where I am. He kept bringing that scripture back to me. Then he said to me, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So I had sown fear. I had sown rejection. I had put all this stuff in the ground. And this is what I was getting back. So that was the jumping off point for me. When I had to realize, okay, everything that I'm experiencing right now, I created it. I created it. And so what I did was I brought my sons. I have two sons. And they were younger at the time. I brought them in and I apologized. And I apologized to my wife. I said, please forgive me because I taught you how to fear. I taught you that money's hard to get. I taught you about sickness. I taught you that even when people are giving you a compliment, don't believe it. I taught you all those things and other things beyond that as well. Please forgive me for me giving you my fear. And from that point forward, there's a saying that says when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. From that point forward, God started sending me people that would challenge my thinking. And these people didn't care a hill of beans about me being a pastor or a bishop or having a church. I was Charles. So we'd be in regular conversation, Jasmine. And I would say something. They would say, what? What did you say? I mean, they would let me have it out of love. But if everybody you're around thinks the same way, when you start talking, it's not going to sound any different. Yeah. Everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, that sounds the same. But as soon as you get around somebody that does not think the way you think, does not have the same perception of the world as you have, then they're going to start challenging what you say. Because it happened to me. Once I started paying attention to what I was thinking and what people were saying around me, I was like, ooh, oh, I was talking like that? I was saying that stuff? Oh, that's horrible. Why would I say that? That's not true. You know, all those kinds of things. So that's what started happening for me. And the more I started to be able to change those programs and pay attention to what I'm thinking and not finishing a negative thought and not finishing a negative sentence, it began to dawn on me that the rest of my life started to change. So often we're so caught up on everybody else. What's wrong with everybody else outside of us? But once we start handling what's going on the inside of us, it's amazing. Everything else around us starts to change. Everything else starts to get better when you start to get better.
Come on. Now, I got a question because this is a part of the human, the experience when dealing with people is that maybe you and one person, y'all were thinking the same, stinking, you know, this about money, this about relationships, this about whatever. And then your mind elevates. How do you then help the person that maybe y'all see things differently now? Do you separate? You know, a lot of people be like, move on, block them, done. Mm-hmm. Or do you say, let's find a common ground so that we can communicate? Like, how do you do that? Because that happens, especially in the 20s and maybe even the 30s. And it'll probably happen for the rest of our life where we'll spend time with people. The next thing we know, we start thinking different. We're like, oh, that's how I used to sound. And it's like, instead of being so proud about, you know, well, I'm different now versus how can we keep building those bridges? You know, what's some of your advice, Pastor?
Well, one, it really depends on the relationship. If it's like a friend, then if they decide not to work on themselves and talk a little different, then you may be able to separate from them. What typically happens though, especially in a friendship, you kind of drift apart. You don't have to make a solid, I'm not talking to you anymore. You just start kind of drifting apart because people that think alike hang out. Birds of a feather flock together. So when you start thinking a certain way, your surroundings, your circle starts to change and you just kind of drift apart. Not mad, no energy behind it. We just start doing the same thing. However, if you are a family member or if you're married, that kind of thing, those kinds of relationships, one, you got to be very patient. Just be patient because it took you a minute to get to where you are. Give somebody else also that grace to grow and to learn. So every so often, if you find a good book or a good audio or a great affirmation, make it a suggestion. Hey, look, this is what I'm doing. You want to try it. And if they don't, hey, no problem, no issue. You know, this is what I'm doing right now. If you want to join me, cool. If not, no biggie. My father never, when he got married, when my mom and dad got married, my mom, she introduced my dad to Pentecostalism, okay? And so she would go off to church and he would be at home, okay? He was an old military guy, so he's a real hard guy. So when she would leave to go to church, she would always prepare meals, make sure he had what he needed, make sure the house was clean, all that kind of stuff, left, come home. Every so often, she would say, hey, well, look, we're doing this service. I would love for you to come. Nah, I don't feel like it. Okay, fine. No biggie. She would go off and do her thing, okay? Come back. He was always the man of the house. She would always do the things that, you know, they would do in their relationship or whatnot. And she just continued to offer the opportunity. You want to come? No? Okay. No biggie. Gone. Till one day, he said, you know what? I want to go down to that church you've been going to. And he ended up going. Not only did he end up going, he ended up supporting. He ended up helping to build the next church. So many times, just because the person doesn't, you know, fall in right behind you lockstep in the beginning, just keep offering it. Don't be offended if they don't want to be a part of what you're doing. Just let them do what they're going to do, and you continue to do what you're going to do, and eventually your results will speak for themselves. You don't have to, you know, get on the mountaintop and talk about how wonderful things are in your life now that you're thinking this way and everybody else is below me. No. Your result. Don't start to ask, now why? How is it? When did you? Can I? Would you mind if I? You start getting those kind of questions. And then you start to realize, now you want to come on. And when they start coming on, don't remind them of all the 20 times they said no. Just receive them for saying yes and work with them. But that's how I did it, because there are people in my family who were like, oh Lord, here we go. Or, you know, there are people that don't work. And especially those would call this, well, that's New Age religion. That's not Christianity. That God ain't about that. All that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So then I had to point to scripture and say, well, no, it's in the Bible. It's right there. Here's the verse. Here's the scripture. Here's the chapter. Here's the verse. Okay. And then I let it go with that. So this is some ways you can start to, when you start to kind of change your mindset, you don't have to rush everybody else into it either. Just let the results speak for themselves and they'll come along eventually, or you'll drift apart.
I love that. That's such a good explanation. Now, you wrote a book, you know.
Yes.
And can you tell us about that book? And then we're gonna keep rolling on.
Okay. All right. Well, the name of the book is I Am Sam, 10 Keys to Success from Green Eggs and Ham. Now, years ago, my wife and I went to buy a new car. And you know how they're trying to make you feel good, real good about getting ready to spend all this money on this car. So they'll bring you into the office and they'll give you some bottled water and they'll, you know, do all this stuff. So I'm sitting in the general manager's office getting ready to sign all this money. And he says, he was a man of faith. So he hands me this book and he says to me, Pastor, you may like this book. And at first, Jasmine, I was offended because it was I Am Sam, you know, Green Eggs and Ham. I'm offended. I'm a grown man. You gonna give me a book?
I'm a grown man.
I'm a grown man. But the most amazing thing happened. I opened up the book, and you know, you may have heard this. It's an old school saying, but once an adult, twice a child. So when I started reading this book that I was very, very familiar with, all this stuff just started jumping out at me. And of course, by the time he went to get some coffee and come back, I was done with the book. But I said to him, hey, look, can I have this book? And I have the original book around here somewhere. I have it around here somewhere, but he autographed it and gave it to me. That book turned into a message. It turned into an opportunity for me to speak in front of business people as well as on Christian television. And it's amazing because everybody knows the story. The guy comes around the corner, I Am Sam, with a sign. He's got a sign and he's smiling. Like, from wherever he came from, somebody already told him who he was. So he didn't need for you to agree with him. He didn't need for you to like him. I already know who I am. I am Sam. And for many people, as much as we want success, we don't know who we are. But your success is wrapped up in knowing who you are and not being ashamed of it, not trying to hide it. I'm the best Charles Wyatt Johnson on the planet. You can't beat me being me. I wouldn't want to be you. So learn how and be comfortable with being, okay, he comes around the corner and he passes by this guy that's got this paper. And the guy is reading the paper and he sees the guy and the guy sees him. And he turns around and he says, not only I am Sam, different statement, Sam I am, that everything that I am, good, bad, or indifferent, I'm embracing it. It has made, every mistake has made me who I am. Every time the Holy Spirit said go left, I went right, has made me who I am. So I'm embracing it. I'm even embracing the stuff that I still got to work on. We don't talk a whole lot about it. We put on the front and the face like we got it all together and we don't have no issue. We don't have no problem. And you and God been friends since y'all went in high school, all that kind of stuff. No. He says, Sam, I am. Now, the response to this guy, Sam, from the other guy, was, that's Sam, I am. That's Sam, I am. I don't like that Sam, I am. Let me tell you something. And, Jazz, I'm sure you have experienced it. People won't like you for no reason at all. Just because you are the positive, you are the pretty plug. I don't like her. Oh, she always smiles. What she got to smile about? Always up here on Instagram. But no, they don't even know you. They don't know. They're not even listening to the whole video. They're not even really looking at the pictures. Okay? So then, Sam gives us a clue, and I'll finish here. Sam gives us a clue about how to respond. He says to the guy, do you like green eggs and ham? As if he didn't even pay attention to what the guy just said. The guy just said, I don't like you. I do not like you. Sam's response was, do you like green eggs and ham? Here's my close right here on this story. The guy had probably seen eggs before. He'd probably seen ham before, but he had never seen it green. Jasmine, each one of us has a green eggs and ham anointing, calling, gifting, if you will. The one thing that separates us from everybody else, it's precious. And throughout the story, Sam keeps offering that same thing. He never changes it. He never says, oh, it must not work. He never says, well, because he don't like it, that means nobody gonna like it. He didn't say that. He just kept offering his green eggs and his ham. And at the end of the story, of course, you find out the guy, you know, he takes it. Oh, Sam, I am. Oh, Sam, I am. I love green eggs and ham. And he goes back through the whole story and tells everywhere he would not eat it, now he's able, he's going to eat it. All you need is one person to love what you do, and they will shout your name from the mountaintops. But you have to be okay with just doing you. This is, and I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm not in a race with anybody. I'm just doing what God has given me to do because there's an audience for it. There's an audience for your book. There's an audience for your podcast. There's an audience for your ministry. There's an audience for your business. Just keep doing you, and those that love your green eggs and ham, they're going to show up every time.
Let's go. Yes! That's what I'm talking about. I got green eggs.
Green eggs, yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Man, this is so good. Like, that's such an interesting perspective on it. It's so interesting.
You'll never read it the same.
I'm not. Like, I'm never read it the same. The whole green eggs. I'm like, what did I learn about it originally? Because Charles done put a spin on it. Like, golly. So, man, hold on, wait. I need to gather myself because that was so good. Like, that was a whole word.
Okay.
So the next thing I want to talk about, and we may have already covered it, but one of the topics that I feel like you and I can really talk about is like money and Christians.
Okay.
And, you know, of course we have our own limiting beliefs on it, but when you talked about almost not being able to pay a certain bill, you know what I'm saying? And like asking for an extension, and you and God, y'all had it out. You know, what can we take away from what we are supposed to do financially as Christians? A whole bunch of different stuff out here, but I would love to know, what should we be doing as Christians when it comes down to wealth and understanding that, you know, because I don't want to be broke and things of that nature, but like, what are your thoughts on it? I'm curious to know.
Well, one, money is not bad. We got to change the perception, our perception, thinking about what money is. Money is simply a tool. More importantly, money should be your servant. You should not be servant to it. Okay? So you got to change your perception about how you think, what you think about money. Then let's look at what the Bible actually says about it. Now, the first scripture everybody runs to is the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? That's the first scripture everybody runs to. All right? I don't want to love it. Well, let's look at this term love in particular scripture. That particular word, love, was a deep love between two individuals, okay? Husband and a wife is a deep love, okay? So if we understand the meaning of that word love, let's add it into the scripture. The love, the deep love of money, the human-type love of money is the root of all evil, meaning I love money so much, I will do whatever it takes to have it. Now, that type of love should be given to someone else, more particularly to God. So it's a wrong relationship with money that is the root of all evil. So then, if it's the wrong relationship, I can fix the relationship. I've got control over the relationship. So therefore, when I look at money, I look at money as my servant. I look at it as a tool. And I look at it as something that wants to be around me. Now, in the church, we don't have a conversation about it. So what kind of relationship can you have with someone that you don't talk to, that you don't spend no time around, that you're scared of? Or what kind of relationship can you have with someone and you're always saying, well, you're not that big of a deal. I just want to have enough of you so I can be comfortable. What kind of relationship is that? So in the church, we have to understand what money is and what it is used for. Now, when it comes to things like money and wealth and possession of things, look at God. What does God want that he does not have? Jesus, when he came to the earth, the Bible teaches us he chose to take the position. He chose it because where he comes from, he has everything. It is your divine right. Okay, if you don't believe me, let's go back to Adam. Adam, before he fell, he could have, do, or be whatever it is he wanted. Even when he wasn't satisfied, when he couldn't find a mate, God said, hey, 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 that's not heaven. Let me find you something. So he created for him something that would fix the need. I'm telling you that money is supposed to be flowing to you and through you. It is your servant. It comes and goes as you tell it. It moves in and out of your life as you allow it to. So this is not something that's going to overtake you and cause, money's going to cause me to be, you know, too confident. What kind of salvation do you have that an inanimate object, can pull you away from God? Even Paul said, what shall separate me from the love of God? Nothing. But that choice is yours. So when it comes to money, God does not want you to be broke. God don't want you to be behind on your bills. God doesn't want you to be struggling. But how does that look on him? How does it make, you know, we dancing all day, no problems with it, run around the building, love the music, love it. But what kind of example are we when we are, like I was, making payment arrangements and hiding our car and when you're behind on your car payment or you're riding around on bad tags and no insurance and you don't have no savings, and that's not representing God. He gets no glory out of it. It's our thinking that has created this adversarial relationship with money. Now, does the Bible say everybody's going to be a millionaire? No, it does not say that. Does the Bible say everybody's going to have a private jet and a yacht? No, it does not. But it does say, the Bible does say that we should prosper. So he really leaves it up to you according to the faith, that's the power that's working in you. So if you, whatever it is you want, God says, I want you to have it too. And I want you to have it at the level you want to have it. But if Charles wants a black Cadillac Escalade, he wants a 6,000 square foot house and he wants access to a private jet and he wants to be able to travel around to all the beaches of the world, then so be it. He's already said yes. So it's totally and completely to you. The enemy cannot stop you. He does not have that power. God is not trying to stop you. He wants you to succeed. The only other person in the equation is you. So if it's up to you and the decision is yours, what would rather? Broke, rich. Not enough, more than enough. Let me see. The choice is mine. He's going to agree with me. I would think my response personally, Charles' response would be, I'd rather have more than enough. Because then I can really do some big things for the kingdom. I heard this quote. Guy said, if you want to help poor people, don't be one.
Okay. You always be leaving us with these cliffhangers. I'll be like, ooh. And y'all may not can see my face, but I'm like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? That was good.
You can literally be a money magnet. I mean, you can literally have just money showing. One of the exercises I did, I went on Amazon and I got these fake $100 bills. And it totaled like somewhere about $3,000 worth of fake $100 bills. So what I did was I started putting them everywhere in my house. I put them in a refrigerator. I put them under my kitchen sink. I put them on the bathroom sink. I even put a few in my wallet. So I got used to seeing it everywhere. And what it did for me is that money's not running out. There is an abundance. And as soon as we think it can only happen one way, we shut all the other avenues out for this one way. But when we say, God, however you want to do it, I am open. Any idea, any relationship, any new scripture, anything you're giving me when I'm dreaming, I'm open to it. And so money starts showing up everywhere. Many times we don't realize how God is speaking to us because we always expect this big booming voice out of the sky or a burning bush or an angel at the end of our bed or what was it, a donkey that started talking. We want some of that kind of stuff. No, God will give you an idea. And that idea won't leave you alone. And you'll start seeing that idea everywhere. And in those ideas is how God begins to develop the money that you're asking for, the influence that you're asking for, the open door, the opportunity that you're asking for. But we're not paying attention. When we open up ourselves to allow him to do it however he wants to do it, then we start seeing all these things show up. Our relationship is a manifestation of that thing, of that exact same thing. I did not know you. I did not have any idea who you were. Started following you a little bit on Instagram. And I'm like, I like her. Because what I've learned is no relationship, especially no new relationship, is by happenstance. Comes to do one of two things. Help you or help you learn. Get you further down the road or help you learn something. And so whenever you open yourself up to it, it starts to flow. Stop resisting. When people give you a compliment, say thank you. Accept it. Enjoy it. Nobody teaches us how to praise ourselves. We're always taught, no, you're not that good. You know, you don't want to be conceited. You don't want nobody to think you more than what you get. All of that. We're taught how to embrace our failures, our faults, our imperfections. Taught how to embrace those. But nobody taught us how to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? You are a millionaire. You are creative. You are awesome. You are magnificent. I don't know what the world would do without you. Where have you been? The world needs to hear what you got to say. That's why you've been placed on the planet. That's why you've been sucking up all this air. And so you can impact the whole world. Get out there and say something good. Get over there and smile. Show them who you are. Because you're not a cosmic mistake. You're not like a roll of the cosmic dice. You know what I mean? Ooh, no. You are God's best thought on his best day. When God was looking around the angels, he said, you know what? I feel good today. I'm going to create me a Jasmine. That's what I'm going to do.
That's what I mean. Man. Oh. Y'all, are y'all not enjoying this podcast? Right now, as you're listening, I need you to go and screenshot it. Let me know that you're listening. Tag me and my and Charles, the successologist. Yeah. Tag us. This is some good stuff. Y'all, he is blessing us today. And I'm talking like the stinking thinking, done, accept compliments, understand that finances and money, that's just a tool, it's a resource. I mean, dang, it's like you speaking to us. Because I got like three more sections that I want to get through.
Okay.
But I know one of your ministries or the people that you're called to is women. Crazy as it is. I want to talk about what programs and products and services do you have to help Christian women develop into who they were called to be?
One of the first things is, I found it over and over again, is that lots of times women don't know the gifts that God has really placed in them. And there are six specific ones that God has really given. And I'll give you an example of at least one of them. But, and I'm not a woman, but my wife is one. I have three older sisters. My mom was a woman. So I have a good idea about how women kind of think and how they kind of move. And one of the things I've realized is that women, you guys give and give and give and give, and you keep putting yourself to the background all the time. It's, you know, you're supporting somebody else, or you're someone else's shoulder to cry on, or you're giving your insight, your encouragement. And then when it's time for someone to come back around and do that for you, there's nobody there. Everybody's busy. Everybody's still got their own problems. Nobody don't have no money now. They don't do, you know, all your stuff. So then, and it sounds selfish, but it's selfish for a reason. If you are the glue, most women are the glue that holds everything together, whether it's in a traditional family environment or she's a single mother. She's the glue. So then, doesn't it make more sense to take care of the person that's holding it all together? To make sure she's straight, to make sure, you know, she's in the right frame of mind. Because if she freak out, the rest of us ain't got no help. So then, if it takes, girl, go get your nails done. Go get your hair done. You want a bath? We'll go run your bath for it. What you need to do, you want to do this? Whatever it takes, do that. But too often, the women don't know what these gifts are. One of those gifts, and it's heightened in women, is the world tends to call it intuition, woman's intuition. Now, the Bible calls it discernment. Now, with this gift, many times you don't know why you know, but you just know. You don't know what's wrong with that relationship, but you just, it's just something that's not quite right. I know all he said was hello, but it was something about his hello. I don't know. And you, what tends to happen is, that is never really confirmed or affirmed in you. The people that you say these things to and that you can't really put a solid reason why you know, they don't come back to tell you you were right. They don't come back to tell you, you know what, I should have listened to you. So what tends to happen is, oh, I must be wrong. I talk too much. Maybe just, I just need to keep it to myself. Oh, that can't be God speaking to me. All those things, even when it comes to business, because a lot of my clients are business women. And they'll feel an idea, or they'll feel like I need to be doing, I don't feel a book, but because they haven't got the affirmation that what you're feeling is right, they'll keep putting it off. It'll take them 3 years to write a book. It'll take them 6 years to start the business. So what I help women do is to get rid of all that stuff, all that fear, all that negative self-talk, that sabotaging recorder you got going on in your head that tells you you're not good enough, or you don't know enough, or they're not going to show up, or remember what you used to do, who you used to be. You're not even good enough yet to tell nobody else what to do. All that stuff running around in your head. I help you to start taking that stuff out, to change the tape recorder in your head and stop being a stand-in or an extra in your movie. Start being the star of your own movie called your life. Start stepping up. And because you take care of you, doesn't mean that now you're selfish and that you abandon everybody else. And, oh, now it's all about you. No, it's just you understand that I'm the one holding this mama jamma together. It's me and God. It's my prayers that are keeping you out of jail. It's my prayers that are keeping the roof over our head. It's my ideas that God has given me, and I get online and on social media, and I'm making them into products. That's me. It's my advice that's keeping you from going crazy. But if all you hear is that you're not good enough, that you don't have enough, and that you're not perfect, and all you hear are all the things you didn't do well, it's difficult to see the success that you want to see. So men, we tend to feel like we can do everything ourselves. You know, to ask for help, especially for a man, means I'm less manly. There's something wrong with me, because that's how we're programmed. That's how we're taught. Women, you're taught a little different. Women are taught, look, if you need help, girl, go get it. If he's going to pay for it, let him do it. You know, that kind of thing. So then women are a little more open to saying, hey, look, yeah, help me with this. Support me. Show me how to do it. Show me how I can change how I think, how I speak, so I can be the blessing that I know I want to be to my family, to my husband, to my children, grandchildren, whatever the case may be. One thing I really believe about women is that women hold a very special place with God. Women hold a very special status with God. Bible goes as far as saying that when she becomes someone, a man's wife, he gets favor. And what kind? No, he doesn't. He doesn't favor her, but I get extra God favor because I'm attached to her. There's a level that I, a new level that I get because of her. So you can't tell me that a woman does not have a special place with God. When you look at all the women in the Bible, and when, and I hope I don't offend anybody when I say this, but the Bible was written anti-woman. Let's just be honest. There are so many women in the Bible that do so many great things that we get brief little stories about just here, just every so often. But if you look at the women that are mentioned, you got someone like an Abigail. Abigail had a crazy husband. He was bonkers, all right? And then he made David mad. So Abigail had to rescue her crazy husband from this guy, David, that was gonna come kill him. Now, he had a heart attack. Her husband had a heart attack once he realized he was going to come kill me. He falls dead. Abigail immediately becomes a multimillionaire because her husband now is David. If you look at somebody like Lydia, who made all the purple garments. Lydia, not only research it, y'all, but Lydia had a factory. It wasn't like she just went in her house. No, because how the purple was manufactured. You had to have somebody down by the ocean to get there was a certain kind of clam you had to have to harvest the clams. She had to have somebody else to boil the clams. She had to buy the fabric from somewhere so they could dye it purple. And then she had to have a customer base. Her customer base was all of the aristocrats, all the millionaires, all the rich people. So that, it's not like she was sewing it in her backyard. No, she had a system. She had a manufacturing system. Now, and excuse me if you will, but look at Rahab. Now, Rahab, y'all know who Rahab was. Y'all know what Rahab did. But Rahab, even in everything that she did, why was she the one that God decided to rescue? Why was she the one that the guys knew could help them? Forget now, I get what she was doing. It wasn't the best occupation, but she was running the biggest brothel in the city and nobody touched her. Nobody touched her. Let me give you a good example. My grandmother, my grandmother, my mother's mother, in our little community, it was called Newtown, it was called. My grandmother, my mama's mama, was a bootlegger. Come in and get shots of whiskey. 25-cent shots of whiskey. She did hair. Back then, they called them a beautician. She was a beautician. She sold plates. Every weekend, you can go there and get you a fish plate, get you some chicken. But she also, upstairs in her house, had a brothel. Now, with all of the money my grandmother was making, she built across the street. They called them a juke joint back in the day. She built a juke joint back in the day. When my mama got saved and wanted to start pastoring a church, she shut down the juke joint and paid for them to tear it down and build her a new building. The land that the house I grew up in, my grandmama bought that. So you can't, I got excited. You can't tell me that women don't have a special place with God. And that's why I love working with them. I love, like you said, as strange as it is, that's who he's called me to work with.
Now we'll be right back with a quick message from our sponsors. This podcast is being sponsored by the exclusive Gold Members Club, hosted by Jasmine Stith, aka The Pretty Plug. It's a community for content creators, entrepreneurs, and believers to launch and level up their brand or business. We understand how nerve-wracking it must be to launch your business or brand on the internet, but we are here to help you build the confidence you need to utilize your faith, leverage technology, and grow your mindset and business to another level. What's included? I'm so glad you asked. The monthly masterclasses with faith-based entrepreneurs. You'll get exclusive content not seen on social media or on the Walk by Faith podcast. You'll have access to the Gold Member community. You'll get early access to my job postings. And also, you'll get weekly live Q&A with Jasmine. You'll get exclusive news, merch, and discounts on future events. You'll also get a Telegram chat to ask me questions and morning motivation from me. So you guys, this episode is being brought to you by the exclusive Gold Members Club. If you're interested, please go to www.jasminestiff.com/GMC. That's www.jasminestiff.com/GMC. Let's see you there and let's launch that gold. And now back to the podcast episode. That's amazing. And I mean, y'all, I didn't even know about some of these women. I got to go to Google. I got to start researching. I got to go get my Bible up and just research all these amazing women. Now, women. I know that you have an amazing woman in your life. And y'all
yes.
have been
oh, yeah.
for how many years?
We've been married 28 years. We met in college.
Years.
Yeah, talk we to met us. In college.
Just go.
Well, she, if you got the time, just let me.
Go, I got time.
She has been my favor. Where I messed up, where I made the wrong decision, where I was, I had 4 or 5 different business cards in my hand because I was this, I was that, I was that, I was that. She supported all of it. She has been with me in ministry. She has, when I didn't feel like pastoring, she would step in. I mean, the titles would still be the same, but she felt that he needs a break. Let me step in. She's funny. She's intelligent. She's a licensed professional counselor. She has 2 master's degrees. She is an excellent mother, grandmother. Sometimes I just look at her because I'm amazed at her ability to even grandmother and mother somebody else's child. How do you do that? You know, she could hear a baby crying and be like, oh, no. They're going to be fine. That's a hungry cry or that's the Pampers wet cry. I'm like, how do you know? It's just a baby crying. Where do you get this stuff from? I mean, she's fly. She can be hood. She is just amazing. And I thank God for her every day because she is the perfect fit for me. Perfect fit for me. When I look back at young ladies that I dated in high school and college, I'm like, you know what, God, you're a good God. Because I was so getting ready to jack up my life. If it hadn't been for this woman right here, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all the no's and all the rejection and all that stuff. Because without her, I don't know what I would be in my life. And I thank God for her every day. You know, bad breath in the morning and all. I just... I just want to be there in front of her.
And you know, I laugh a little because you were like, if she can get hood with you. I felt that. I want to know because you had parents that were married for 63 years. So
yes.
I really want to know, like, what lessons on dating and marriage can you give to the young folk?
Well, one, let me say I'm praying for you. Because the environment that my wife and I dated in no longer exists. I mean, it's amazing to see some of the things that are going on with young people these days and how dating happens and all those things. So I'm praying for you, number one. But number two, get to know the person. And when I say get to know them, I'm talking about ask them questions. Be around them when they're around their family. How do they treat each other? When they get together, what do they argue about? What are they affectionate? How did that person treat their mom or their dad or their grandmama or uncle? Get to know who they are. Because let me tell you something. It's hard to hear or see when you're in love. It's hard to see the thing that's right there in front of you when you say that you're in love with them. So then, also have other people to be kind of involved in it, but not really in it. So did you ask about this? Or why hasn't he asked you to come to his house or be around his family? Why y'all only go out during the daytime? What's that about? You know, why doesn't he want you? When he always takes his phone with him wherever he goes. He never leaves it on the table. What's that about? And if it's nothing, it's nothing. But these are just small little questions that kind of give you an insight to who that person is. Also, remember, you're not in a race. I know the world and society says you got a biological clock. And if you don't have kids by this time, if you don't do this by that time, all of this pressure that you're feeling from the outside to be something or to have something, it's not necessary. Don't get caught up in that. Don't allow yourself to be peer pressured into something that your relationship can't handle or that you can't handle. Allow yourself to grow into it. When my wife and I first started dating, we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Our first date was at KFC, and we went to see Harlem Nights. That was our first date. So, you know, I grew up watching my dad, you know, pull out chairs and open doors and all that kind of stuff. So I would go around to the other side to open the door, and she would look at me like, "What are you doing?" I'm opening the door. He said, "All right, well, all right, go ahead and open it." So I would open it. When it came time to pay at KFC, I was like, "I got it. I can pay for my own food. I don't need you to pay for my food. I get it. I understand. I don't need no man." I said, "Well, can I be your man?"
Ooh.
I get it. You don't need one, but can I be your man? See, I had mad flavor back in the day, Jasmine.
Come on, flavor!
Because of where she had come from, one of the things her mama told her was that always be self-sufficient. Don't ever let a man do everything for you. Now, that's good advice up to a point, but when you find someone that is honoring you in this way, allow them to do that. Allow them to be that. So I spent time around her people. She spent time around mine. She realized that my family at that particular time, I mean, we were super saved. All of us had, you know, we had SS on our chest, super saved. We didn't do nothing. We didn't go nowhere. She realized that I was sheltered at the time. She just found out a whole lot of things about my family as I found out a whole lot of things about hers. And then we made a decision that the things that bother me about you, I'm willing to live with. See, I'm willing to live with. What irritates me about you, I'm willing to live with that irritation. Far too many of us are trying to spiritualize everything. And some things you're gonna just have to make a decision about. You have to make a decision. It's not going to be the death of our relationship because you leave your socks on the floor. It's just not. It's not going to be the death of our relationship. They're more important things. So for young people out there, I'm praying for you. But then get around other successful. Stop listening to these people that's been married and divorced 5 times, and they're trying to tell you how to hold on to one. Let them work out the one first. Then come back to me. Find some people that have been successful that can show you, this is how we did it. Now, your relationship is your relationship. Whatever y'all do in your relationship that works, great, cool. Y'all continue to do that. But other areas, I think I said this to you in another conversation. Our church was my side chick, okay? My side chick to my wife. I spent more time at my church. I spend the night at my church. I would be more concerned about what's going on in my church until an older bishop said something to me. He said, son, you're going to lose that good woman if you don't break up with your church. Even the Bible, even God said to me, I died for the church. You ain't got to. So I had to fall in love with, learn to appreciate, learn to love my wife, the one God gave me. Because Charles was about to lose her trying to be this super spiritual individual that he had not called me to be. So I'm saying to you, everything that has to do with relationships, some of it is a choice. It's a choice you make. Sure, there's prayer and there's, you know, spirituality involved and talking to God and y'all being together spiritually and that kind of thing. I get it. But then there are some things you're going to have to make a decision. Yeah, I know. I know he snores, but I love him. I'm telling you. So that would be some of my advice for young people that are dating and freshly married. If you're freshly married, keep everybody out your business. Just keep everybody out of your business. It's your house. Whatever works for y'all, works for y'all. It ain't got to be compared to nobody else. This is what helps us have peace and happiness in our house. Y'all run it. And then understand, especially if you're freshly married, you're on the same side. You're not fighting each other. Before you start getting into an argument, ask yourself, what do I want to get? What am I trying to get? What am I, at the end of this, am I going to get what I am looking for? Then determine if it's worth getting into a heated discussion over. And if you do, get back right quick. That's one of the things, me and my wife years ago, we'd get in an argument or something. We wouldn't speak to each other for 2, 3, 4 days. Just walking around the house, is ice cold.
And ain't it weird? You just like, well, Don needs to get you hungry. Like, you know, it's so weird when you do that.
Yeah, just, you know, and we realize, why are we doing that? What are we trying to get out of it? Us not saying anything to each other, being in separate rooms and all that stuff. You know, there's a better way. Now, I don't mean we're not going to be mad, but when we're mad, we're going to be in the same room. We're going to be mad watching the same TV. You ain't going nowhere either. Until we get it right, because my wife is my best friend. My wife is my best friend. She is my best friend. So it's like being mad with your best friend. Who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to have fun with? Who am I going to, you know, scroll through social media and be like, ooh, babe, look at this. Who am I going to do that with? So I gotta get it right. You know, I gotta get it right. Make sure my best friend is good.
Yeah. Come on, bestie.
Yeah, right.
Y'all should do a TikTok challenge. Y'all do a little TikTok.
I thought about it and she's mentioned it. We might just do a little TikTok thing. I'm not gonna do the little switch thing though.
Oh, don't do the switch. You ain't got a switch. You just do one of them other little couple things. I think.
Yeah.
You also follow a great legacy that was left for you, which is being your parents being married for 63 years. What did they teach you? What was the big lesson that they taught you?
One, my father, the best guy on the planet. Love my daddy. He's 91 years old. And I can't necessarily say that he sat down and said, Charles, do this, do this, don't do this. But just watching his example, I watched how he was affectionate with my mama. And I watched how he took care of her. I watched how he honored and respected her. I watched how he showed me how a woman is supposed to be treated. You know what I mean? How she's supposed to be honored and respected. He showed me how even to take care of my family, what that means, what that looks like. He showed me even how to take care of other, my oldest child just had a birthday yesterday, actually, is not my biological son. I met him when he was 3. And one of the things my daddy did tell me in that particular instance, he said, love him like he's yours. Love him like he is yours. Never say stepchild. Never say he's not yours. Love him like he is yours. And from that day forward is exactly what I did. But I got all that from him. I got all that from my daddy. I remember the first movie I went to, my daddy snuck me to, because back then you couldn't go to the movies. It was a sin to go to the movies. They called it sitting in the seat of the scornful. That's the scripture that they use. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful.
I mean, damn, we couldn't watch Walking Dead back in the day, or none of our shows.
We had HBO in our house, but we couldn't go to the movies. Come on now. Anyway, he snuck me to the movies. With my mother's birthday, he would buy little gifts, give them to me, and said, you give this to your mama. He just taught me how to be a man. He taught me how to respect, honor women. I mean, even down to my sisters. Now, my sisters aren't women. They're my sisters. So, you know.
I'm like, first off, there's some total sibling stuff. Like, they're your sisters. Like, what?
They're my sisters, but they're not. They're
y'all
not
seem women. Like y'all probably used to fight all the time in the house.
I was the punching bag. I was their first child. Sit down, be quiet. I was their first boyfriend. Open my door, pull out my chair. All of that stuff. I was the first one that they could beat up on and all that kind of stuff. But even down to my sisters, my daddy made sure I respected them. I called my sister one day. We were arguing, and he heard her fussing at me, but I called her a yellow belly sapsucker.
What?
That's a real bird. I had just learned the bird in school. Y'all look it up. Yellow belly sapsucker. It's a bird. He heard me call her a yellow, out of all the stuff he heard her call me, I call her one word, a yellow belly sapsucker. He hit me so hard in the back of my head. Don't you ever call your sister no yellow belly sapsucker. You will respect your sister. Did you hear all the stuff she just said to me?
Like, did you not just hear what she told me? Why am I being blamed for this?
Right. But it was because you're supposed to honor and respect, and you're supposed to, you know, hold them in high esteem. And that's what he taught me. He continues to teach me. Right now, he'll call and ask to speak to my wife and won't even speak to me. How's Pam doing? Let me talk to Pam. I said, okay, I'll let you talk to Pam. And then she'll hang up and say, well, he didn't want to talk to me. He's like, no, he didn't want to talk to you.
He
won't even take my calls, man.
Jeez.
Come on now, I'm your blood.
You know, but they say blood ain't thicker than water. Sometimes I don't know if it's true. I be like, you know, that water looking a little bit more tighter. I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
That's what I be thinking. Boy. This is a good podcast. Now, y'all, if y'all can't support this podcast, I don't know what you're doing. You can easily support this podcast with 99 cents.
I'm telling you.
$4.99 or $9.99 a month. Just sow a seed so I can keep bringing people like this on the show so they can empower, motivate, make you laugh, you know, make you smile, and help you to just be better all around through their life experiences. Now, the last thing that we're going to talk about is, what is our key takeaway after listening to everything you said? Because, I mean, you have thrown gem after gem after gem. Come on, Mr. Successologist.
Baseline, again, to even go back to the beginning of our conversation, is mindset. Mindset is essential. When dealing with other people in a married relationship, mindset. Business. Mindset. Losing weight, mindset. Ministry, mindset. Having faith, mindset. It all goes back to mindset. Now, you know, Jasmine, you can get up here and talk all day about marketing and how to, you know, explode your business and grow your audience and all that kind of stuff. And you do an excellent job at it. But you could teach people that stuff, but they're having the war in their mind. Am I good enough? They won't spend money with you because, well, when am I going to get my money back? You know, Is it worth it? It's a risk. Can I do it? What's going to happen if? So if we get the mindset fixed, we start working on the mindset. Then when Jasmine comes along and says something about $4.99, $9.99, or whatever it is, there's no fight. There's because you know that money flows to me. That's because that's what my mindset tells me. So the biggest takeaway is mindset. And let me give you just one exercise that's going to help you with your mindset. Every morning I get up. One of the first things I say is thank you. I go to the mirror and I speak well of myself. I tell myself how wonderful I am, how good I look, how needed I am, how much I love myself, and how much God loves me. Then I start listing these things, either out loud or on a piece of paper, how grateful I am. I'm deeply grateful for this, for this, for this, for this, for this. Then I write down at least five things that I like about myself. Whatever it is, write those things down. If you start your day that way and you make it a habit, don't just do it just every so often. I would suggest at least 30 days in a row. And if you skip a day, you got to start over. Sorry. Okay. At least 30 days in a row. You start to change how you think. You start to change how you see yourself. Now, it might be difficult in the beginning. It might be hard in the beginning, but everything is hard until it's not. Hear me. Everything is hard until it's not. So then you do it every day and you're looking at these things every day. You come up with something different every day. Just five. Start out with just five. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Your mindset starts to change. The Bible talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing there, that Greek word actually means to renovate, by the renovation of your mind. Now, when you renovate something, you don't tear the whole house down just to fix the living room, okay? You just keep people out of the living room because the rest of the house might be okay. So I would suggest to you find an area in your life as it relates to your mindset. It might be money, it might be your health, your job or business, it might be your career, whatever it is. Find that one area and start working on your mindset as it relates to that one area. Now, when you're renovating something, you typically keep everybody out of that room. Don't go in that room until it's finished. I would suggest that once you start working on that area in your life, keep everybody out of that particular part of your mindset, other than professionals. Other than people that know how to renovate, know what, you know, carpet goes with what color on the wall, know how to put a lamp over in a corner and you know, something over, you know, people that know what they're doing. Keep everybody out of that room. Because mindset is everything. It's how you start your creative process. It's how God started creating. It's how it happened with a thought. You, everybody on this, watching this podcast, you are a manifestation, a physical manifestation of a thought of God. When God was thinking, he came up with you. So get your mindset together. Everything else will start to flow from the mindset.
When I tell you I have been blessed by this podcast, I've been blessed by your words. The last thing that I ask every guest to do, it's my little daily thing. What does walking by faith mean to you?
Walking by faith means to me everything is possible. There are no no's. There are no impossibilities. Whatever I want to do, be, or have, God has already said yes. Faith does not mean blind faith. Faith also means to have belief in something that's already been said. He's already called me healed. He's already called me wealthy. He's already called me his masterpiece. So I believe in it. And I live my life that way. That's what faith means to me. Walking by faith. That's good.
It's good. That's what I'm talking about. Charles, tell the people where they can find you on Instagram, Twitter, your website, where they can book you for your speaking engagement. Because, I mean, God, dog, this was a magical conversation. Like, just tell the people where they can find.
Well, one, you can find me on Instagram at @the_successologist. You can also find me on Facebook at Charles Johnson Page 2. Now, and you can call my office if you like, if you want to speak to me, 919-228-9679. You can go to my website. It's called MountainMoversSuccessSchool.com. MountainMoversSuccessSchool.com. Or you can become a part of my community. It's called Mountain Movers Worldwide on Facebook.
Let's go. You guys, y'all go follow him. Y'all go let him know that he blessed you on the podcast today.
Yes.
That he completely sowed a seed, not in only into your heart, but into your mind, that you can be successful and that you can be everything that you were called to be, as long as you walk by faith, as long as you have a positive mindset.
Yes.
And as long as you keep following the success outlet, because he's going to pour into you every single day. So I am a believer of the success outlet. I feel more successful. This was a good hour that you have spent with us. I am wishing not only a great rest of your day, Charles, but for everybody listening, a great rest of your day as well. So we'll see you next week for another episode on the Walk by Faith Show.
Many blessings.
Stay tuned and many blessings, y'all. Bye bye. Did you enjoy listening to this podcast? If you just said yes, please consider rating us and giving us a 5-star in your local podcast app. Every review helps to move us up in the podcast rating charts, all of which increase the number of people who get to hear the faith journey of Christian entrepreneurs globally. Also, would you like to see this show grow and become a live YouTube channel? If you said yes again, please consider supporting this show with a monthly donation of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 a month by just clicking the link in this description box. Make sure you're following the podcast social media page at WBF Podcast and my personal page, which is Jazz the Pretty Plug, for all regular updates. And don't forget to grab some merch at www.jasminestiff.com. As always, keep walking by faith with love, the Pretty Plug.